Here we go.
Let's start the show, man.
No bullshit news.
Charlie, it's very simple.
No bullshit news. Like most of your stories, it's false. No bullshit news.
You are fake news.
No bullshit news.
Stop with the media bullying.
Charlie,
stop the media bullying.
No bullshit news.
Hot dog. Yeah, no shame to my game.
No bullshit news.
And here we are again.
Nice, Bob. That was great.
Good morning.
Good morning, Karen.
Morning, Karen.
Good morning, Bob.
Morning, Bob.
Morning, Charlie.
It's like the Waltons.
Yeah, it's like the Waltons. Guess what? Guess what I hear?
What's that?
We haven't even done 20 shows. We got over 500,000 downloads.
Congratulations. All right. Nice job.
Well, that's all of us, isn't it?
A good job.
I just want to thank the discerning listener who doesn't want to be bullshitted. Right? You got to know stuff.
You got to know stuff, and you'll know stuff if you tune in here.
So, you know, I was talking, Karen and I were talking. It's like, why don't we do a little news roundup? I said, okay, let's just dispense with it. What's the national news this week? Week four. Government shutdown.
Government shutdown.
Government shutdown. Yeah.
Over the wall.
Or under the wall. Yeah, that's it.
So you know what I'm thinking? I know the wall.
Very well.
I covered that a long time. Hey, you there, Chris?
Yeah, I'm here.
I know the wall so well that I know Chris Cabrera. Chris, man, give the audience your title.
I am a Border Patrol agent and the spokesman for the National Border Patrol Council. I'm based out of McAllen, Texas.
McAllen, Texas, where El Trompe was just there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was here just a couple days ago.
How orange is that guy? I mean,
you know, I honestly thought that he would be. He wasn't very orange at all yet. I mean, it was like a normal.
Orange?
Pale white skin tone. It wasn't orange at all.
What about
that Texas light? Must be good on him.
Yeah, I mean, I got pictures. I was, you know, and he's not as tall as I thought he'd be. I thought he was like really, really tall. He's not that tall.
How? What about his hands? His fingers?
Normal sized hands. I mean, they weren't like tiny little, you know, like T-Rex hands or anything. I mean, they were just normal sized guy. He looked like just a normal guy. You know, he didn't strike me as anything, you know, out of the ordinary in any way, shape, or form. So
what about the hair, man? There's just something. What about
well,
the
he
hair?
Had a hat on. He had a hat on.
What did
MAGA hat? Did he have on a MAGA hat?
Yeah, but it was a white MAGA hat, so which
of course.
Was pretty cool. I've never seen
that's
that.
That's more appropriate.
Right.
That's kind of nice. That's his summer wear, huh, Chris?
Yeah, it was, you know, I guess before Labor Day or whatever, however that works. I don't know.
Hey, listen, bro. This is week four of the shutdown. Are Border Patrol agents getting their paychecks?
No, we're not. We're not getting paid.
You're not getting paid.
Yeah.
You're not getting paid.
Not getting paid.
So, but there's for you guys, you're essential. You'll get your back pay, right?
Yeah, we'll get our back pay. We'll get our back pay, and, you know, hopefully we'll get it soon.
Well, hey, listen, man, I know you, right? I've been out of the border many times. I find you to be a quality human being. You care about people. I know you're not beasts, but I know you're not a rich guy. I've been in your car.
Yeah.
Like, so how hard does that hurt in terms of, like, making your, you know, house note, making your car payment?
Buying groceries.
Groceries.
I think I'm a little better off than some. You know, I've been in a while. I've been in 17 years, so my house is paid for. My wife works. So we got a little nest egg. So I don't think it's going to hit us as hard as it's going to hit some. And not just Border Patrol wise. I mean, there are some that are lower paying jobs in the government that those guys are going to get hit really hard. So I feel for those guys or people that are single family income, whether single parents or the wife doesn't work. And that's got to be really rough on them. So I think I'll be okay for a while.
But Chris,
some I think are hurting now.
But Chris, what does that do for the morale, for your morale, for the morale of your colleagues to have to work every day, putting your life on the line for better or worse, and not being compensated for it? I mean, even though you'll get it on the back end, I mean, just you associate being paid with going to work. What does that do for the morale?
Yeah, you know, it's bad for the morale. But I think what hits people the hardest with this morale thing, or with this. The shutdown thing is right after they announced this shutdown on the 22nd of December, the Congress went on vacation till the 27th. So we're there like, hey, you know, we're working for free and you guys are on vacation. What the heck is this?
No, you can say what the fuck. You can say what the fuck is this?
And they're still getting paid.
Yeah, and then they come back for a day and then they go out again till the third. And then they come back or then they go out again. And our guys are like, you know, this is ridiculous. You know, it's one thing that we're getting screwed over here by not getting paid. But you guys aren't even working on this damn problem. And if you were working on the problem, you know, it would be a little easier to swallow that pill.
Well, what's the problem, Chris? Listen, you know, we're all over the country, man, you know? And and this is regular people driving in their car looking for the regular explanation. What is the problem, and does the wall solve it?
You know, there's two parts to this problem. One part of this problem that doesn't get addressed enough is the catch and release issue. We have hundreds of people coming in daily, people from Mexico, Central America. We had one from Yemen last night. We get a lot of Bangladesh, India, China. They come in, they turn themselves in because they know if they claim asylum or even say the word asylum, we have to let them go. They get released into the country. With a court date or a court date pending, which may be 5-6 years away. And to me, the scary part of that is not that they're just releasing people into the country, but we're releasing people with tuberculosis, with flu-like symptoms, you know, scabies, chicken pox. And we're putting them on, they're jumping on a Greyhound bus and they're going into the rest of the United States. So every time I hear something on TV like, well, there's this mystery flu that's out there, you know, killing people. What? I wonder where it came from. It came from down here.
Well, maybe. Listen here, man. Don't go crazy and be coming on my and Karen and Bob's show and like saying, you know, like there's a swine flu from a guy from Bangladesh coming over the border. Let's keep it kind of calm.
That's kind of Trumpish, you know.
It's a little Trumpy,
you, no,
dude.
You know what? I'm gonna give you one that happened to me, and this happened in October. We have a group of 105 people walk up to the levee and turn themselves in. 105 people
up to the levee.
Up to the levee. There's one agent there. One agent
up to the levee. Meaning there's a wall.
Yes.
There's already a wall. Which is called the levee, but they're already in the United States, correct? Listen, this is very, very important, which is when you're talking about people seeking asylum, they only need to touch soil, right?
Yeah, because see, there's two types of folks that are coming in. People that are trying to get away, which the wall would help with, and people that are turning themselves in.
Which the wall wouldn't help with, right?
Yeah.
And so the majority of the people now coming in aren't trying to get away, correct?
No, it's well, I would say the majority, but it's pretty close.
Okay, and but it's at least half. Like, look, we can't build a whole wall, bro, with this kind of money, with you guys not getting paid right, if it's not going to solve the problem more than half. True?
Well, and see, this is the thing, though. It's more than half of what we apprehend. But so much of our manpower is tied up dealing with these ones that are turning themselves in. Mm-hmm. That we're not able to cover all of our area. Now, if you look at the Border Patrol numbers, it's been put out there that our apprehension rate is between 50% and 60%. We're catching 20,000 a month out here. That means 20,000 are getting away. Now, let me get back to that little story I was telling you.
Yeah, I'm going to get you back here. The swine blew on the bus.
This lady come up, and she had a little boy with her. The agent that's working there calls out that the little boy is unresponsive. So I'm about a minute away. I respond out there. Sure enough, the boy has no pulse. He's dead. 20 months old. Oh my God. The mother's standing there holding him, and I don't, you know, everybody's like looking around like, what are you going to do? So I just start pouring water on him. We don't have any ice. Start giving him chest compressions, and my classmate is a medic for the Border Patrol, so I call him. He's on his way, so I'm getting the kid ready, putting him on the ground, and just doing whatever I can, kind of faking it until he gets there. Then the guy, the little boy, his arm kicks, and I figure, well, it might just be a sympathetic reflex. Then his eye rolls back in his head, and then he starts to cough. So we get the little boy back. He starts breathing again. So we're continuing chest compressions. We're continuing icing him down. Come at the end of the day, he had 5 brown recluse spider bites, 3 on his jugular, 1 on his cheek, 1 on his temple. Oh. He had infection throughout his body. His entire body was swollen. Core body temperature of 102.5. He had tuberculosis. He had the flu. and he had pneumonia. And on top of that, he had a brain hemorrhage. So for me dealing with this poor young guy, I ended up getting pneumonia, got rid of it, and got it again, and finally just got over it. But what we did, we released the whole family in the United States. Just released them, let them go.
Where are they from?
I mean, pending a court date, but
were they
how do you
from
think
Central
they got?
America?
They were from Central America, but how do you think they got where they were going? I mean, they didn't, you know, have a car. They had to jump on a bus. We were getting, when you were down here, Charlie, you saw we were getting people, hundreds of people a day with scabies. And what did we do? We released them.
I did see that.
They jumped on a bus.
So is there a better way to, you know, so that you're dealing with the reality of people coming into the country, but somehow, you know, containing or addressing the issues that they're bringing with
them? Yes. Presidente Cabrera, what is the answer?
You can't, because there's so much saying, well, you can't hold these people. The Flores decision says that we can only hold somebody, a woman and child or a family unit for 21 days. So we were holding family units for 21 days, seeing what we could do. So we had special detention centers set up for women and children. So 6 months later, we don't get women and children. We get men and children because they know there's no place to hold men and children. You know, there's no place to hold. I mean, I'm not trying to spread something saying that everybody that comes through here has some kind of mysterious disease. That's not true. But we do have some, and instead of treating that or sending them back, like if you tried to come in the country legally and you had some type of disease, you wouldn't qualify because you would be a public charge. You would be a burden to the system medically. But if you come illegally, they just release you.
So, Chris,
tuberculosis, AIDS.
Let's back up here, though, Chris. That 21-day, you know, that decision, that court decision, that's why, okay, well, we're going to prosecute people for – you know, if you want to claim asylum, you got to go to an official port of entry. If you jump the river, then you've broken the law. And after 21 days, they're going to separate children
Not how it goes. No, what it works is you can claim asylum at a port of entry, or if you're here in the country illegally, up to a year from the date you entered.
No, my point being, the reason women were being separated from their children was, since you entered illegally, we're gonna charge you criminally for the illegal entry, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Because they could have done the same thing at the bridge. And I actually asked the lady, well, why didn't you just go to the bridge? And she told me, well, I didn't want to wait that long. Well, then you broke the law and you got to pay for breaking the law. And when we separated them, a lot of people think we were separating these families. As far as Border Patrol goes, very few people got separated with us. And the way it did work through Border Patrol, a woman came in with her kid. If she happened to go to court, they were separated for 5-6 hours tops, and then they were back together again. Just for the court visit, we're given time served, back with the kid, and out the door into the rest of America. So a lot of what you heard on TV is a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah, I know. Look, well, I do know this. That's not the solution.
No.
Thanks for saying. God damn, you're good. It's not the solution to separate women and the kids, right?
No, it's not.
Because you're
that's
a man.
Not the solution.
You're a man. I know you. You're a man with a heart.
From a family, that's not the solution.
What's the solution, Cabrera?
The problem is this is
no, not the problem anymore.
2013.
Párate. Silencio, Holmes. What is the solution? You are an expert.
I got it. I'll give it to you right now.
Give it.
The asylum officers, the vetting needs to be done on the front end. And instead of somebody coming in and me saying, okay, your court date is set up for 6 years from now or 5 years from now, and we'll figure it out then. We bring those judges and those asylum officers to the same table that I'm sitting at. And when they sit across from me and they say, hey, I need to see a judge for asylum. Okay, slide down 2 chairs. He's there. If you have a viable claim, maybe not completely done, but at least vetted. Okay, you know what? This may go in a category of, it may work. Okay, you can stay. The next guy comes in. No, you know what? You don't qualify. You're gone.
So you're talking about beefing up the process, speeding up the process, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Would the money for a wall be better spent on judges and more enforcement officers?
You know, we don't even need to have more enforcement officers, more judges. We just have to front end the system instead of backloading it.
Did you just say, spokesman for the Border Patrol, that we don't need more agents and stuff?
No. About the judges. Now, this is the thing, though. Would it help? Yeah, it would be great. It would be great. We need them. but that's probably not the first thing on our list. Now, if you're waiting 6 years to see a judge, what's the difference between 6 years and 6 years and 6 months? Not that much. So those folks that are already in the queue waiting, we'll bring those judges to the front end, put everything on hold, stop the flow, and then once everything slows down, go back to the normal flow.
All right, let me go like this. Okay, go ahead, Kim.
You know, I was going to ask, Chris, so when they're given a court date and then they're released into the country, what's the likelihood of them actually honoring or, you know, showing up for that court date? Isn't that a whole other issue?
Yeah, what's the percentage? Yeah,
between 3 and 13% actually show up for their court date.
Okay, I'm going to go like this because I read a lot of studies. Everything's conflicting. We can say that might be true. About half would be the highest number, right? About half would be the highest estimate. Yours is a very low estimate.
I know the numbers that you're looking at, Charlie, and this is where they're skewed. What you're talking about is court dates, because some will hit court dates throughout, but when the final disposition date is up, that's where most people skip out.
You mean, okay, here it's going to be the answer today, and they're like, fuck that.
Yeah, and then like, yeah, you know what, I kind of don't want to hang out for this day, so that's the day they don't go.
Watch this, Cabrera, you want to know my answer? Let me just run it by you, an expert. First of all, this money is infinitesimal. That $5 billion in a $4.5 trillion federal budget is 0.001% of the budget. This is some fake news, political football bullshit. Do you feel that?
I agree with you
100%. Okay, because you're
living. I don't think the wall is the only thing that needs to be done. It needs to be done, but there's a lot of other things that need to be done as well. This is like the hammer in our toolbox.
Well, that wall don't work, bro, because I've been with you. There's a warehouse full of ladders that you guys got for people to go over the wall. You go under the wall. You make the riverbank. The wall don't stop half the problem. Here's what I say.
You have the tunnels that they were talking about, and that's nonsense. I mean, there are two out there that we know of in our area. One of them is a drainage ditch. I mean, you need drainage ditches. So we found that when they were using it. We rebarred it up. Tiny little, you know, openings. Nobody can get through there. The other one that they were talking about on TV the other day, yeah, there was a tunnel dug, but it was from where it started to the actual wall was maybe a quarter mile. The thing was only dug 50 feet in. So that thing's not doing anything anyway.
Listen, it's no bullshit news. I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
Stop it. I got you. People are driving right now, Chris. Listen, here's the thing. The main deal here is, I believe, the Mexican government. That's what I believe. The border is run by the cartels. Much of the Mexican, not all, not even half. Too many Mexican politicians are in the pockets of the cartel. A lot of money to be made here. So if Trump wants to do this, do not make Border Patrol agents suffer, FBI agents, prison guards, you know, postal carriers. Don't do it. Here's what you do. Freeze the assets of anybody in the Mexican government that we know is linked to the cartel. What about that? Not bad, right?
I think that's perfect. You know, and the thing is with this cartel, even if these guys don't want to be in bed with cartel, a lot of times they have no choice. It's either silver, they call it silver or lead. Either you go with us and we pay you, or we kill you.
Okay, here's the next one. There you go. What about taxing remittances going out of the country? People work here and they send money home, right?
Yeah, I would love to see that.
You would love to see that.
I would love to see that.
But you know what the deal is people would reroute it through the Grand Caymans. So just hit every remittance that's going out of the country.
Well, the remittances don't go to the Mexican government.
They go to the families.
No, but it is
wire transfers. Tax them.
Their second largest income into the country.
Is tax remittances.
After oil, it's remittances.
Okay, number three. Ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
They say that over half, and I read the study closely, and I don't even actually believe the numbers. It's not based on enough data. But over half the people in the United States without pay documentation or illegally is expired documentation, right? People coming to visit. They overstay the visas. But the majority of that is from Mexico and Central America. So if you can ban Muslims, why wouldn't you stop visas for a short time? Put some pressure on the Mexican government to do its share. What do you think, Chris?
I think that would work 100%. I also think that whenever we get somebody from a country that we're sending aid to. Hey, we've gotten 10,000 people from your country this month. That's going to cut into the money we're going to send you as far as foreign aid. You know, it's costing us X amount of dollars to house this person. It's coming out of your foreign aid money that we're giving you.
Hey, Cabrera, are you a racist?
Not at all.
Are you a Latino?
I am.
Do you speak Spanish?
I do.
Are your ancestors from another place?
Yeah.
What percentage of the Border Patrol down there is of a Latino origin?
Oh, I would say, you know, at least 60-70%.
So why aren't you letting your cousins, your brothers and sisters, just waving them in, possibly? I mean, hey. You know, that's the view of you guys.
Yeah.
You're like jackbooted meatheads. Why do Latino Americans, men, my brother, by the way, why do you guys do this job?
You know, we're not anti-immigrant. We're anti-illegal immigrants. Country of laws. You have to follow the law. Do things the right way. How many people have stood in line before us and done things the right way?
Karen's frowning. Karen's frowning, but I agree with you. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, I'm just saying, in terms of...
Karen's a black chick, by the way. just since...
Chick?
Bob's okay. A white dude.
we're the United Nations here in this
country. We are the United Nations.
We talk about doing things the right way.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Who does anything the right way in this
country?
Well,
that's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse, but what I'm saying is that, and we've talked about this, and we talked about this, and we talked about when we talked to Poncho. It's like, do we really want this to stop? Do we really want to, you know, put that wall and Chris,
do we want this to stop or somebody?
Do we really want this to stop or is this beneficial for America? I mean, we talk drugs, we talk illegal labor. You know, we talk about labor here that everybody takes advantage of because the people here don't want to do it. So, you know, from that perspective, we're benefiting from this, even though we're complaining about it.
I can tell you this, Karen. A couple stories on that. You know, as far as the jobs that people don't want to do, I kind of call it BS on that. Because, well, yeah,
I do too.
You know, I got a friend of mine, real good friend of mine, up in St. Louis. He used to frame houses. He would make $15, $18, $20 an hour, became a foreman, started getting undercut by guys that were getting paid less than minimum wage. How can you compete with that?
You know what I noticed,
jobs,
Chris?
That Americans won't do for that price.
You know what I noticed now, since like 2008 and everything collapsed? You know how many white and black dudes up north here I'm seeing doing gardening?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see that in 2005. Nobody did that shit. Now it's a whole business.
You know, I got an uncle that worked his entire life in the fields down here as an American citizen. That's the only job he could get. Now, I think this, and I know a lot of the Republicans, I don't like to hear this, but this is, these folks working any job deserve a living wage. Nobody should be taken advantage of just because they're not here legally. I've gone to too many calls where they say, hey, this guy's here in the country illegally. Come to find out, it's the employer calling on his workers so he doesn't have to pay him.
But that's
not
right.
Whoa! Really?
That's my point.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so what I'm, you know, it's not about jobs Americans don't want to do. It's they physically can't support their family on $2 an hour or 50 cents a bushel for strawberries. You can't support your family on that. If I got to pay more for fruit, so be it. It'll stimulate the economy, but I'm all for paying a little bit more so people can have a living wage.
Amen.
Yeah, and by the way, good luck with your check, Holmes. Here's the thing, man. Love is universal. Law and order makes it possible. I don't think nobody will say, hey, well, a few will. Open it up, bum rush it. I'm not for that. I am for very liberal immigration. It makes the country stronger. You know, an injection of culture.
Makes us who we are.
I agree.
It does.
I agree with you 100%. We need good, strong, like-minded people into this country.
Yes.
We don't need bad ones, but we need the good ones. That's what makes us who we are. We're the melting pot. I mean, but we need to be careful on who we let into our house. You just don't let anybody in. You got to check them first. Once you check them, okay, you can go. You just can't have anybody in there and just say, okay, yeah, you know what? The next 45, come on in. No, you got to check them. I think so.
Karen's shrugging her shoulders again.
No, I'm saying, but still, when you start, that criteria becomes relative. And I understand, you know, healthy and the whole nine yards. I get that. Yeah. But then, you know, who establishes that criteria? How is that criteria?
We, the people.
I tell you what, Karen, let me ask
That's
you
what
this.
The fucking government's this, supposed to be doing.
Right. And
let
we
me
don't
ask you this, Karen.
That. Yes.
One in five people, 20% we catch, have criminal history in the United States. Usually violent criminal history.
Get them out. States. Throw them in prison.
Would
in,
you
in
allow
the United States?
Five people that you had no idea who they were to just spend the night in your house unchecked, knowing that one of them may be a very, very, very bad dude, unchecked?
No.
We don't know if he's got parking tickets.
No.
We don't know if he's a murderer.
I would not when you talk about in my house. But if, in fact, you're going to have, immigration rules, if you're going to be, whether it's liberal or whether it's strict, all I'm saying is that what does that criteria look like? Who decides
my,
that? Who decides
my view is
that
this. We have a lot of homegrown shitheads. We got a lot of people that are from the United States. That are shitheads.
That's true.
Right.
And criminal.
That we're not
infected.
We
and the whole night.
There's nothing we can do about that.
And unable to feed their families. I mean, you've got people here.
But they're citizens. There's nothing I can do about that.
What I'm saying is we have those. We can't do anything about them. But that doesn't mean we should import more. We should be very selective on who we bring into our country. We should be very selective. And the hardworking, the ones that are trying to make America
great again.
Don't you say that, Chris?
No, I'm not trying to give a slogan, but like you see a lot of immigrants with stores, with that have really drugged themselves up from nothing to something great. And that's the American dream. We see it all the time down here. I'm sure you guys see it in Detroit because it's a huge melting pot. People that aren't from here that have done great for themselves, and that's what America is about. That's what it's about. It's about people coming over, bringing themselves up from nothing, and thriving. And that's what we need. We
but if
need
you don't want to bring
in.
Them in here at nothing, then where do they start?
And that is wrong.
Well, and I think what's the point you're trying to make, Karen, about like who gets to decide what the criteria is? Because I say somebody who walks in a caravan 2,000 miles up from their home country with nothing to come into this country, I kind of want that person here because they're self-motivated and they're...
I'm not sure. What? I'm not sure if I want them here. I'm not going to look at a picture and go, come on. So, how do we decide?
That's my point.
It's called a democracy. I elected some people from around here to go to Washington to powwow with people like Chris and make up some rules and standards.
But you've got to establish those standards.
We've had MS-13 in the caravan. Just because they came in that caravan doesn't mean we want them here.
Oh, I know MS-13, man. I know them dudes. They're not good dudes.
Yeah.
They're not good dudes.
Neither are the Crips or the Bloods.
No, I agree with you.
But guess what? The Crips and the Bloods, guess what? They're homegrown. They're my brothers and sisters. They're citizens. We put them in prison. Prison. So I can't export them.
But don't we put them in prison whether they're immigrants or undocumented or not? If you break the law, you go into jail.
Are you, Chris? Are you going to prison if you're, undocumented?
What's the crime? What are we talking about here? Just for being undocumented?
No, for, say, assault or battery or something like that.
You'll do some time. Chances are won't do as much. In the United States, you get 2 or 3 DUIs, 4 DUIs, you're going to prison. A lot of times we'll get guys on his 8th or 9th DUI, and they just want to deport him and send him right back, and he'll come back and have his 10th.
You know what? I was always thinking this, Chris. If you're illegal, undocumented, you commit a violent crime, you do your time, and then we deport you, right? You've been deported.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back, which we see often. If we catch you on a deportation order, you've been convicted of a violent crime, put him in prison for 10 years. Put it right there in McAllen. Put the prison on the border. You're doing 10 years. That way, I believe, the word gets around real quick. Do not fuck around.
And on top of that, I think they charge the home country for his stay,
Then you have another revenue stream.
I'm all for people coming over here the right way. I have relatives that have come over here the right way. But nothing irritates somebody, and you can ask around. Somebody that's come here the right way, jumped through all the hoops, the medical screening, the fees, everything. They've done all the work, waited years to do it, and somebody else just walks in and gets it for free. You'll find people that have immigrated the right way are very salty about people doing it the wrong way.
That's true. But, you know, a lot of people that did it the wrong way, I love them. I know them. You know, man.
Which is why we got to fix this system.
We got to, not paying Chris and everybody
like
else.
Chris was saying, if they front load the judges and things like that, then it won't be a 6-year wait.
But that's a solution for all of our problems that we don't do. We put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound as opposed to fixing it on the front end. Right. Because it becomes a revenue stream. It becomes beneficial. It becomes financially appealing. So, I mean, we say that, but at the end of the day, it's a vicious cycle that we complain about that we don't do what we need to do to solve the problem.
Karen, in 2005, 2006, we were getting hit with people from Honduras, Guatemala, Brazil, and El Salvador. Like, kind of like now, because we didn't have jail space, detention space, so we were releasing them out the door, just like now, and they knew it. And it went on for about 6 months, and then they came out with something called an expedited removal, where me as the agent, I could determine if they went back or if they could stay based on a little bit of criteria. So we started doing this expedited removal, and right then and there, boom, you know what? Lock them up, lock them up, lock them up. 2 days later, they were back in Honduras. You believe it or not, that dried up in 2 days. We went from hundreds a day to a trickle. They just stopped because they knew, hey, the gravy train was over. Expedited removal.
Has anybody asked you, Chris, or your colleagues, and when I say anybody, I mean from the U.S. government, any of your congressional or senatorial representatives, ever ask you, Chris, what do you think the solution is?
You know, they will ask us, and then people will start throwing more on top of it and more on top of it, and then the big bosses get involved and more on top of it, more on top of it, and then it gets so watered down that there's just nothing there anymore.
Okay, Chris, we're wrapping it up. What do we do, man?
You know, front end the system for to deal with the catch and release, walled in strategic locations or barriers.
Let me get this right. You want judges first. That's what you think the priority is.
You know,
come on, man. I got a minute left here.
Huh? If I can get them both at the same time, I would get.
Well, you can't get them both at the same time.
I will go with the barriers.
The barriers. Okay, but yeah. You didn't say the wall.
Well, whatever they want to call it. They call it a wall. They call it a partition. They call it a curtain if they want. Doesn't matter to me as long as it's up there and it holds people back.
Both sides of the wall, dude, is still the United States.
Yeah. But it funnels people into an area where I can catch them. It's safer for me and it's safer for the community that they're being kept out of.
All right. That sounds good. Listen, good luck. I suggest you shop at the dollar store. Use both sides of the Charmin. Turn your underpants inside out. You get twice as much use out of it.
I already do that, so we're good there.
Oh, my God.
Well, hopefully this thing's over soon.
And listen, man, a nice meatloaf filler is the breadcrumbs. So just shake the sheets into the meatloaf. Good luck, my brother.
All right, I'm going to download you guys right now, and I appreciate you having me on. And it was a pleasure meeting you others. I already know Charlie, but it was a pleasure meeting you guys. So.
All right, thanks,
Chris.
Thanks for having
me. All right, Chris, we'll talk to you. All right, man.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Smart dude. He's an honest dude.
Yeah, he is. And that's all you want, Charlie. But the thing about it is
that's straight from Border Patrol.
You got to, I mean, we complain about problems that we really don't want to solve. We don't. Everywhere.
I think people want it solved.
I don't think so, Charlie.
I think they do.
Somebody like, he may want it solved for different reasons. Somebody else wants it solved. But I don't. We've talked about drugs coming in. We've talked about all kinds of stuff. I don't think that a solution is that complicated.
Well, see, that's right, but you got to know the issues, and you can't allow things to shift the discussion. Like, it's about keeping drugs out. As we all know, as we heard last time, they come through on trucks. 6 million trucks a year come in from Mexico. You can't check them all. The majority of deaths in this country, OD deaths, they're from prescription opioids.
Right.
These are people in lab coats in this country that bought the process, that bought Congress, that made this shit legal when it used to only be legal in the hospital to get it. That's something we can do.
But we don't want to.
Have you ever taken
too much money?
Have you guys ever?
I don't like them. They hurt my stomach.
Have you tried them?
Well, yeah, you know, when I had
like OxyContin
and stuff. Yeah, they prescribe.
You taking it?
Yeah. I don't take them now. I mean, when they ask me, I'll just.
What does it do to you? Like, Have, Karen, you?
Yeah, when I was in my car accident, you know, and it's like they give you all this stuff. And, you know, my doctor's like, well, here, take this. I'm like, God, listen, I have to work every day. I can't walk around high.
Like Oxycontin they give you?
Yes, Oxycontin. Well, Percocets, which is Oxycontin.
Hydrocodone, yeah.
Well, hydrocodone. Now, Percocets for babies. I mean, that's
really?
That's an old one. But no, like Oxycontin. Like the Oxycontin. That?
Yes. Yes.
Like the 80 milligram or whatever?
They give it to you like candy. And when it doesn't work, they give you more.
Right.
And it's like, if you are not a smart person, you could easily become a pill popper and easily become addicted because you have to choose between either pain or sitting in this vegetative state that keeps you out of pain, but almost unfunctional.
Do you know there's like about 300 million people in America, right? That includes infants, the elderly, the incarcerated, the incapacitated. 300 million Americans, 200 million opioid subscriptions were written last year.
I believe it.
I got to try that.
It's too many.
I'm going to do that. Can you bring one in there? I'm gonna chop that up,
Charlie,
and snort it.
Hey, Bob, what do you want, Charlie?
I need to do that.
Are we doing a drug deal on the podcast?
I need to do that because I need to know what it feels like because it's ensnared so many people. And so many people are dying. I need to be able to report honestly what it is.
It gives you the temporary relief that you continually seek when the pain doesn't subside.
That doesn't mean anything. How do you end up being a scarecrow under an underpass?
Because you keep taking it, Charlie. I mean,
and it does give you a euphoric feeling.
Does it?
Yeah. You know, you feel like you've had a few drinks, you know?
Is it like a rush or is it more like a mellow?
It's like a mellow.
It's a mellow.
Yeah. I can't, but, you know, I take one pill and it upsets my stomach. So
have you ever snort it?
No.
Because that's when it really gets, that's when you get a rush, I'm told.
It's 80% more effective.
This is above my pay grade here.
All right, we're going to do that next. Dan Rather, God bless Dan, in the 50s, when they caught a jazz musician driving through Texas with heroin, Dan Rather is a local reporter, went to the police station with a doctor, and they injected him with the heroin and watched what happened.
And you want to do that?
I don't care what anybody does. I respect Dan Rather.
Yeah, you should.
I really do. So what's old is new, and what's new is old. And you know what else is new and old?
What's that?
Ed Zaney. Zaney Law Offices in Detroit, Grand Rapids. And Lansing, specializing in criminal defense, civil rights, and personal injury. 517-292-7000. When things get zany, call Ed Zaney. You know what I'm saying? Luke Nowacki.
Luke's a good guy.
Oh, Luke is a great guy. Listen, Luke, I'm not even going to read this. Call Luke 248-663-4748. I just want to say this. Half of America doesn't even have a stock.
Yep.
The other half, the shit's going up and down, and you don't know what to do. You're not thinking about the future.
But, Charlie, this is the other thing, and we talked about this with Luke early on. Just because you don't think you make a lot of money, you can still take some of that money and save. Most Americans have savings less than $1,000 in savings. That's crazy.
Yeah, you don't got $1,000 in cash.
That's great. But people aren't thinking about it. They say, well, I'm just paying my bills. Well, part of paying your bills should be investing or saving. How do you do that? Ask Luke. Seriously.
That is awesome, Karen. I mean, dude, Luke Nowacki, look, I know this guy's great. And he's honest. And he's a regular person. 248-663-4748. I have to read this thing, I think. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names. Products or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
Don't think you make too little to save.
Damn.
You can always save something.
Seriously. I know this is good, but Osceola McCarthy was an African-American woman from the South. She washed laundry for like $2 a basket. She ended up amassing a fortune that she left for scholarships because she talked about how much she saved. So don't no matter what you don't make, trust me, and you got to save your
money. You got to.
Because they said there's a crash coming that will rival or exceed the Great Depression.
You sound like Cabrera from the Border Patrol. Swine flu in a crash. All right, have a great day, everybody.
Hey, broke is overrated, man.
But I'm telling you, man.
You way know? Overrated.
I'm telling you.
Don't do it.
We got Brooksy? Hey, Mr. Patterson.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How
okay.
are you?
I just heard you coughing there. Let me introduce you. First of all, welcome to the American Coney Island Hotline. Thank you for this. See that? You like American Coney? You like American Coney Island?
Sure.
Exactly.
We used to do a live broadcast on there, didn't we? You and I?
Yeah, called Hold the Onions.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, this is Elbrooks Patterson, the county executive of Oakland County. We're doing
Howdy, sir. Welcome to the podcast.
That's Bob. You know Bob. And it's Karen Dumas here. You know Karen, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
How are you, sir?
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Look, we're doing a wall special today. We're down talking to the Border Patrol in Texas. And now the next great wall, 8 Mile Road. Brooks, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Yeah, because that's the figment of somebody's imagination, the Great Wall.
Well, you know what? Maybe it used to be, but you're really getting hammered as being old and irrelevant. You are, right? You know that. Is it making...
Well, you know, when you turn 80, there's something to be said about that. Yeah.
I do believe that's part of it. But, you know, look, I've been reading a lot. The Oakland County is known very much for being rich and Republican and well-run, by the way. Very well-run. And now we have a Board of County Commissioners that's, you know, majority Democratic. A couple of congressional seats have gone Democratic. Many of the, you know, the big offices in Oakland County are Democratic. And this is being interpreted as people like you, are old, irrelevant, and it's time to go.
A lot more than that.
Go ahead. Defend yourself and what you've done there.
All right. Well, Detroit's gone from 1.2, 1.3 million down to 600,000. Those people landed somewhere. Many of them landed in Oakland County. And unfortunately, they brought their politics with them. They fled a city of high taxes, high crime, bad services, no school system. And they come out here and they want to replicate what they just fled. I don't understand it. But anyway, that's what happened. So now the county is getting increasingly more Democrat every election. And one of these days will be as Democrat as Wayne or McComb.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I think when you leave a city that I just described, but high taxes, high crime, absolutely non-existent school system. Yeah, that's bad. That's not government at its best for sure.
So, do you associate that with the Democratic Party or the people that have been elected? I mean, is it just straight, you know, because you're
or the culture of Detroit politics
or the culture which hasn't changed, by the way?
No, I agree.
You too.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, I suppose. The people make the party, and then. But the party also allows certain things to occur. And I like to think that somebody wanted to make my office nonpartisan. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. Because if you see an R behind my name, it means something. It means I believe in, you know, a smaller, less intrusive government. And I think a D will tell you that, hey, the more expansive we can make this system, the better off it will be. And I don't buy that for a second.
Well, Oakland County has, what is it, AAA bond rating, correct?
Yes, I've had for 22 years.
What is the rainy day fund? What's the cash on hand? $400 million bucks?
About, yeah, I got the delinquent tax revolving fund is about $220 million, and I had a cash fund balance at the end of the year of about $200. It's about $440 million.
And how do the schools function in general as compared to the state in Oakland County?
Well, the school's not part of my function.
I know, but I'm just asking, man.
How do they function? I think they function better. I think there's still, I think the teachers have surrendered much of their independence and their ability to discipline. And I guess when the system goes to hell in a handbasket.
Oh, when you don't spank kids. God, you are old. Jeez, oh, Pete. go ahead, Karen.
What do you do that nobody else is doing? I mean, for you to have that, I mean, I understand you're working with a little more in terms of a tax base, but what do you do that people
well, you
here
know
in Detroit
Karen,
don't do?
Of what I know I've had a successful, 26 years now, and it was all done between my election in 1992 and when I took office in 93. But I'm saying during the time that I actually brought my staff together during that 60 days is what they either made or didn't make me. And so I think it's all in who you hire. If you hire good people and they're smart people and you're smart enough to get out of their way, let them do what they've been trained to do, then you could have a very credible, experience. I think Archer was a very smart guy, but Archer had to have everything come across his desk. Well, you can't do that. You've got to delegate this to the people you put in office. And then hopefully you pick the best. I think everybody recognizes that I picked some excellent people, like in my finance, and Bob Datta, and Lori Van Pelt. My IT guy brings home an award every week. That's Phil Berlini. You get the right people and put them in, and then get out of their way. You can't be a micromanager. And you set the vision, and you say, where I want to be at such and such a time. And I think we've been able to do that.
Yeah, but, here's the thing, man. I think your policies are good, the way you run stuff. But you say stuff that always gets you in trouble. And then in the Trump era, it's blown back on you. Like wall off Detroit and throw some smallpox blankets in there. And,
I didn't say that.
Well, something like that. You always say I didn't say that, but you did.
I didn't. I even got the court. Never mentioned the word smallpox. Give me a break.
All right. Well, you know what I mean. Wall it off. You did say wall it off. But,
I did.
But
I did.
You did. And we in the media love it. And we love it. That's why we call you. You know that, right?
You get me in trouble every time you call. You know that, don't
every
you?
Every damn time. But I'm accurate, bro. Because we talk. Now, listen, here's the thing. How do I say it? Okay. Make me some news, Brooks. Come on. Do the show a favor. You've been dancing around the crap. Everybody's piggybacking on my stuff. Are you gonna retire? Say it. Just do it. Come on. Make me. Come on. Is this it?
After the week or 2 weeks I had my retirement all tied up in a 401k in the stock market, I might have to run 4 more years just to let my
Don't play with me. That's not news.
Well, as a lifelong resident of Oakland County, I want you to run again, Brooks.
You do. And Bob's super liberal, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, Bob. I appreciate it, pal.
Now, I want you to retire so I can, get some news and, everybody, Cranes has to print it.
Well, let's get some different news. We talk about regionalism. We've been talking about that for the longest, which requires cooperation. You made, a brief a comment about former Mayor Dennis Archer. What do you think about our current mayor?
Duggan?
Dick.
Mixed blessings, I think. My kid.
Dick.
I found out if you don't agree with him, then all of a sudden you're a liar. I don't like that. I don't call people who don't agree with me. I respect the fact that there's a difference.
Everywhere the guy goes, a grand jury follows. And we got a ton of grand juries downtown now. You know that, right?
Yep.
And if you want to talk about, Jefferson and Woodward is the new power center. I don't know.
I live off Jefferson, so you can take that off.
It's the big look. You said this, Brooks. I guess I'm saying this. We got a bunch of sketchy politics, a bunch of sketchy financing. You said this new super billionaire and the political clique regional chamber that they're making. You'd rather join the Klan, and you got ripped up for that one, but. That's a great quote. We get to rip you up for that. But what were you meaning? What did you mean?
I was trying to come up with an invidious comparison. What is the worst organization I could come up with? And I said, I'd rather join the Klan than join that group. And obviously everybody goes, I told you he was a racist. And that's not what I was trying to do. I was setting up hyperbole to make the point that, as bad as that is, this new committee of 23 has all the potential being worse.
Why is that?
Well, because my first
Let me explain real quick what the Committee 23 is. It's the head of DTE. It's the billionaire clique down there. It's the subset of the millionaire clique. So basically, it's the big money set that, you know, is siphoning a lot of tax dollars and what have you. But on the other side, the say they're creating jobs. But all of a sudden, all the big boys are in a room making some economic decisions.
I heard him say, and this is what really got me all riled up initially, was they're going to take over economic development planning and for Oakland County in Southeast Michigan. No, they're not. That's my job. In Oakland County, I'm doing a pretty good job of it. I'm not going to abdicate my responsibility and give it to these 23 powerful CEOs. Who? I don't think they really knew just how much. I don't have my research with me and talking to you from home, but we don't compare ourselves. We, Oakland County, we don't compare ourselves to other counties. We compare ourselves to states. Like we have, we export more stuff out of Oakland County than 25 other states. We have a GDP greater than 13 states. On and on it goes. So we look at states and say, hey, we're as good, if not better than, you know, 15, 20, 25 of them.
Established. But let's get back to the Klan here. Like, I'd rather join the Klan. What do you look here? Let's go. DTE can't keep the power on, right?
I'm just saying that this group, who at first came out of the chute saying they were going to take over economic development for Oakland County, that turned me off. I said, no, I'm not going to abdicate that responsibility to 23 CEOs. It's not going to happen.
Because they're not altruistic, are they?
No.
And they don't represent the people. They represent their moneyed interest.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want to disparage them. I know most of them.
Well, we're trying to get you to. Yeah, we want you to.
I'm sorry?
We want you to disparage them because, you know.
Well, my point being, though, that, I mean, Brooks Patterson represents me, and I voted for him.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't vote for the head of DTE or Dan Gilbert.
See,
I don't want them representing me.
And when I say disparage, I mean, I'm joking around, but I'm joking around. But I want the truth. I want the truth.
But he doesn't have to dislike them personally to condone.
I just want him to say Brooks stuff, but I
like
know.
Like the old Brooks stuff? Like, you
no,
know,
Brooks is old. Get it right.
No, he's not old. He's older. He's not old.
Brooks.
Thank you.
He's well seasoned.
He's not old. No, he's not. But you remember back in the day, Brooks was a lightning rod verbally. I mean, no, nothing got past him.
Brooks represented people that wanted busing stopped.
I understand that, but that's what he's supposed to do for better or worse.
This is the head honky in charge on the line.
I understand
here.
That, but
he can count money.
But the other ones, and I'm not going to say the H word, elected him, so that's what they want him to do.
Is there an H word now?
There is an H word.
There's an H word.
We just made up one.
Crap.
But the point is that his constituents want him to represent them and their interest. That's what he's supposed to do.
Hey, yeah. Brooks, sir, yeah. what percentage of Oakland County, you know, the barrier, 8 Mile, like Detroit, what percentage of Oakland County is now black?
Now what?
Is African-American.
Now what?
What percentage of the county is African?
Probably about 14%, maybe 15%.
15%?
Yeah.
Which is more than the representation in the United States of African-Americans is a portion
of it. That's correct.
So it's kind of diverse. So people have voted with their lives.
With their feet.
To join you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of them. Excuse me. A lot of them have. And as I'm saying, if Detroit empties out from 1.3 million down to 600,000, they went to Macomb, they went to Oakland, they went to other parts of the country. But I have now other than Bouchard and I were the only two Republicans elected countywide.
You know what the problem is?
What?
You were so enamored with that job and you were good at it and Dad, Al, and all, and everybody down the line. You didn't groom a younger generation, you know, to take over. There's nobody waiting in the wings. That's the problem in Michigan.
Well, you may be right about that. I don't know that. I mean, I got some guys on my staff who are younger than me, by 20
You're 80.
Years. I know. Hey, stop it.
And, do you have anybody on your staff older than you?
One. Yeah,
nope,
I love
right
him.
On.
I go by his office every morning.
Listen, I want you to listen to something.
No age discrimination here.
I want you to listen to something, sir. It's a young lady. I'm not going to say exactly where they live because you know how people... I want you to listen to somebody, her story, living in Detroit and is trying to get to Oakland County, trying to get to Oak Park. It's about 5 minutes. Would you listen to this?
Sure.
And after we're done, let's get a solution here. All right?
We'll try.
All right, well, listen here. We're gonna do it because I told you we're gonna do it. Hopefully.
How you doing?
All right. How you doing?
Are you Myra?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you? A pleasure.
Nice to meet you.
My pleasure. I'm recording here, just so you know.
Okay.
So I got it.
How are you?
I'm very well. Is your daughter home yet?
There is a neighborhood on the west side of Detroit near 8 Mile Road, tantalizingly close to Oakland County and so far away. A young girl goes to school over there, but still lives here. Her neighborhood is slowly slipping into anarchy. Windows are boarded up. A family's belongings sit on the curb, put there by the court bailiff who put the family out. Paint here is peeling, and the little girl dreams of moving there.
My name is Mayana Lanton. I'm 14, and I go to school at Oak Park Prep Academy.
Over there on the other side of 8 Mile?
Yeah.
You like the school over there?
Yeah.
Do you want to leave?
Yeah. I want to have get a big house with my dog. I want to redecorate my room and do all that good stuff.
Oak Park?
Yeah.
Near your school?
Yeah.
Near her school?
Yeah.
That way she can walk. You don't have to be late.
Close to her school. Close to the, you know, track meets where she gonna be going. Closer to my job. We're in Troy. I think that would be a, you know, perfect fit.
The schools are not good here in Detroit, her mother Myra says. Everybody knows that. That's one sort of violence children in this city suffer.
The school that they wanted to send her to was on the edge of being closed down because of the pipes and other building issues, and I didn't want her to go to that district school. And so I filled out the paperwork, and they accepted her. So I was like, yay, Oak Park it is, which is not that far.
Another case of a senseless, violent act that claimed the life of a little boy. The 8-year-old was safe and sound, sleeping in his own bed.
But then there is the very real and very physical violence. About 5 dozen children a year in Detroit are the victims of gun violence, most of it random. Mayana is one of the latest.
So, October 14, like a week after my birthday, it's a Sunday night. I'm finna take a shower, wash clothes, all that. I'm looking for some soap and junk. Text my mama, like, where's the soap at? And she told me. She said it was, like, in a closet or something. I ain't see it. Then I went to the basement to ask my brother, do he got some soap? And he was like, yeah. So he gave me some. And I came back upstairs and stopped and stood in the living room. And my mama texted me, and I went to go read it. And I just got shot. Shot in my head. When I felt it, it ain't, because it ain't hurt. It felt like somebody just hit me upside my head. And I fell to the ground. And then I just started bleeding. I was like, dang, I just got shot. But, yeah, when I fell to the ground, yeah, they continued shooting, so it was a good thing I fell to the ground instead of just, like, still standing up.
Who were they?
I don't even know. It was like three masked men that was just in front of the house. I didn't even see them. And I didn't even hear when I got shot. I didn't even hear the bullet come through. Because if I would have heard it, I'm the fastest person in this house. I would have just ran. But I didn't hear it. So I guess that was the consequence.
Myra loves Detroit, the city she was born and bred in, but loves her daughter more. The miracle of downtown Detroit is as far away as the moon from the porch here.
Like, why, you know, why us? You know, there's been a lot of shootings. My neighbor house got shot up. Car in front of our house got shot up. You know, but it just seemed like it's getting closer and closer. Then, you know, I'm at work and I get the call that my daughter got shot. You know, it's just like, why? You know, we don't bother people.
They've been looking for a house in Oak Park, Oakland County, on the other side of 8 Mile Road. But the deposits there are expensive, and landlords want extra for the dog. If you can help a working person help her daughter, dear listener, there's a GoFundMe page, Myana Lanton at GoFundMe.com. MYONNALANTON. Myana Lanton at GoFundMe.com. Have they caught the three men in the hockey masks that shot you?
No, they still out running, probably doing the same thing they did to me. Terrible.
Does it scare you?
Yeah. Every day I'm here. Sad. Nobody want to come over no more. Stuff like family. We all here.
But not your friends?
No.
Do you blame them?
No.
Mr. Patterson?
Hey, yes, sir. Still here.
Can we help them?
Yeah, I was thinking while listening to the interview how we might. I don't know. They have the school districts now taking students from outside of their districts. All over the county. I assume we'd take them from Detroit, too. I don't know.
She already goes to school in Oakland County, Oak Park. They're looking for a house. You know, they're working people. They're good people. It's a good girl. But they can't, you know, find something where you can have it. Listen, you got a lot of resources at your fingertips. Can you take this family under your wing and see if we can help them?
Well, I'll try. Want you to send me the information.
I'm going
to
get you the information. Listen, you want to? I'll put something in that GoFundMe. You want to donate to that GoFundMe and help them raise a little money out of your own pocket?
No, I think I can do more for my government position than I can writing a check.
Yeah, but write a little check too. Don't be cheap.
I'm not cheap.
Okay, so I'm gonna put them in touch with you. Okay.
Please do. Send me the information.
These are our people. These are the kind of neighbors I want. They're really great people. Let's
good.
Okay, good.
I'll stay. All right, pal.
All right, listen, Happy New Year to you. Be well, and congratulations on your retirement.
Thanks.
Congratulations on running again, sir.
Wait, I thought he was retiring.
I'm hoping
he's
running again.
Not yet, Charlie. Okay. Not yet. He'll let you know.
Oh, by the way, what does L stand for? L Brooks Patterson?
What's that? Oh, lonely.
There's your news.
Talk to you later, lonely.
Okay, take care.
All right, thanks, sir.
All right, we're gonna help that family. Listen, everybody, just rewind.
I'll donate to Charlie.
Excellent.
Yeah, of course I will.
Because you know now, a deposit is 2.5 months plus the cleaning, plus the extra for the dog. It's not like...
But let me ask you this. Has she, and we can talk about this off the air, but has she found a home that she wants? Because if not, I can put her in touch with somebody to help her find a house that they can...
Sweet.
Okay, we got it.
Okay, it's a lot of stuff, too.
That's okay.
You know,
I understand.
Your work, well, just...
We got it.
I love Detroit, too, man. And look, I love it. My grandfather founded it. You know what I'm saying? With like 11 generations.
Well, and I think that Mayanna's mom loves Detroit too, but she loves her daughter more, like you said in the piece.
Yeah.
You know, the kid was at her own house and gets shot inside her house.
People don't deserve to live like that.
A week
that.
After her 14th birthday, getting some soap. No fucking way.
I mean, you could hear it in her mom's voice. I got the call at work. My daughter has been shot. I mean, unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. That's the sad part.
That's what we're going to advocate. We're going to keep advocating. We're going to keep talking about the money. We're going to keep wanting more police, better border, better services, right? There's a lot of money going around, and it ain't getting to us, you know? So, love each other. I wanted to play this for you. This is the music for the end. I found an old Woody Guthrie tune, the original first time he recorded it, This Land. But Woody wasn't like a lollipop, grade school hymnal type guy. He was a Okey, Dust Bowl guy. When his family and he got to California, guess what? From Oklahoma, the Los Angeles Police Department was standing there with weapons.
They didn't want those Okies.
Turning American citizens or get the fuck out of here. So listen closely. He sings about the wall. These are the original lines. Love one another. Care about one another. Good to see you guys. Talk to you next week. And bring that OxyContin. I'm serious. I need to try that. I got to report to the people what it does.
I don't know if I'm transporting drugs.
It's a prescription.
True.
For you. Right.
Plus, we know Brooks Patterson.
All right.
Lonely Brooks Patterson.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, and I saw above me that endless skyway, I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me, a voice was a-sounding. This land was made for you and me. There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. The sign was painted, said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust cloud rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Yeah! This land is your land, California to the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Sing it, Bobby.
This land was made for you and me.
See you.